L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2, presented by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Final hour of the program makes it sound like the program will never be on again after this.
Well, I guess there's no guarantee that it ever will, you know? I mean, it's we're day-to-day in this business.
We're on the edge at all times.
Never know when it may happen. Never know.
That is so true.
If we get Corey, like, swearing about the new T-Rack, that might be the end.
That may be it. People are mad about this, Corey. People are mad about the changing of the mascot.
Why?
I don't know, but they are. My biggest takeaway from this is I guess I never realized that the original T-Rack really wasn't a raccoon until they made this new one that actually is a raccoon.
What was it?
I don't know. It kind of looks
like
we kind of debated that the other day. I mean, somebody earlier today said it kind of looked like a coyote version of the Hamburglar.
I thought it looked last week. I looked as soon as I saw the transformation. I'm like, oh, so previously it was a woodchuck. What did you think all those years as you're doing sideline reporting and you're dapping up the old T-Rack?
Did I dap up the old T-Rack?
I hope at some point.
I don't know. It just looked like a cartoony raccoon-ish cat monkey thing. But here's the thing, and I know I'm not the only one to say this. T-Rack isn't for you and me and Robbie. It's for the kiddos.
True.
Okay? And that's it. And he's not a Titan, all right? So he's not misrepresenting the Titans, all right? He's an animal. He's a fun-loving, trash-eating, dumpster-diving animal.
That's right.
Okay? And it's why anyone would choose to get upset about it. I mean, look, because you're right. If you want to be upset about things, get upset about things. And good Lord knows people like to get upset nowadays.
They do.
But, I mean, if this is the mountain you want to die on, then have at it. Go for it.
So, Corey, it feels like both Cam Ward and Carnell Tate starting to cook a little bit in training camp here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's training camp. That's the caveat that I put into basically everything. this time of year. But it's good to see quarterbacks starting to hit a groove. Carnell Tate making some big plays over the weekend. So what do you make of that? And how much of this is just, in your opinion, you know, comfortability with the offense starting to set in at this point in training camp?
Well, yeah, I think it's comfortability with the offense, and I think it's guys, you know, getting used to working with each other. I think it's probably more of Cam dialing in on exactly what they want him, you know, to do. But it's also good players making plays, okay? You know, I think Cam had 3 touchdowns Friday night. I think he had another one yesterday. Or Carnell, I'm sorry. But, you know, you look at the one-handed catch that he makes. You look at the toe-tapping touchdown that Gunner makes. You look at the touchdown that Chim makes. And I know that one was from Mitch Trubisky. But those are good players making plays for their quarterback. And that's not something we've seen a lot of the last few years. We always talk about the quarterback elevating the team, and that is absolutely something a top quarterback has to do. But guys also have to make plays. I mean, we've seen great quarterbacks for a long time give players a chance, and then those players come up with those plays for them. And you know, now that the Titans have invested some in some of those positions, you know, how does Cam Ward's night look if Carnell doesn't pull in the one-hand grab and if Gunner doesn't make the toe-tap touchdown in the end zone? It doesn't look as good. It probably still looks pretty good, but now it looks really good because guys – made plays, and that's what this league is. It's about guys making plays.
Totally agree. And a guy that we've talked about who's making plays, got hurt, came back, continued to make plays, Elikaya Manor, Corey.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, do you think it's plausible that he might just beat out Calvin Ridley, or am I overreacting here? We know Ridley's track record and talent level, but also his age, and Io Manor looks like he's taken a step.
I've made this comment on numerous shows. I've probably made it on this one, that I would rather see Io Manor and DK out there. They're the future of this team, and I don't dislike Calvin Ridley, but he's, what is he, 32 years old, 33 years old now? He's not the future of this team. This is realistically his last year with the team. And I understand you want to put as much around Cam as you can. I get it. But I also want to see those two young guys on the field. And if I were the Titans, I would be showing off Calvin Ridley as much as I can Tuesday and Thursday to a San Francisco team that could probably really use him.
Corey, we've had this conversation with you over the years, and it feels like maybe it's creeping back in here a little bit, unfortunately.
Oh, no!
How concerned are you about field goal kicking at the moment?
Well, I mean, apparently the Titans are a little concerned. You know, would they bring in 3 kickers over the weekend?
Yep.
Yeah. Look, you know, Joey Sly has a huge leg, and I don't think he was terrible last year. He had a stretch during the season that wasn't great last year. I think they're just clearly sending him a message. Hey, you know, we plan on being in games. We need a kicker who wins us those games. We are not good enough to get by with a mediocre kicker. We need, you know, if it's a close game, you know, you can be the difference. And, you know, so you apply some pressure now. You bring in 3 kickers. Joey knows what that means. It means be good in San Francisco, or there'll be another kicker here, or you'll just be out. And you know, it is a pressure cooker position, and this is what NFL teams do. They apply the pressure on these kickers to be better. And so I think, what did he go, 2 for 4 Friday night?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, you got to be better than that. And that's what they're telling him. I mean, I'm sure he knows it, but now he really knows it. You know, he's got to be good in San Francisco.
Yeah, and he might. But the bottom line is he's a journeyman who's been – he's played for half the teams in the league right now because he's an 81% career guy, right? Like,
yeah,
it's just not good enough. I mean, I guess you could say this for any team, but I look at this team and I just think small margin for error, probably going to – if they're going to win, they're probably going to win some defensive – kind of low scoring sort of games where one kick can be critical. It's tough to see this. I mean, he kind of is what he is, but what do you do long term, Corey? I mean, we've seen this franchise really for the most part. I mean, Nick Folk gave him some good, a couple good years, but not be able to figure this out long term. And we talked earlier on the show, like maybe they need to, use a fifth round or sixth round or whatever at some point. But a lot of teams have done that, and it hasn't worked out.
Well, I mean, how many teams actually draft their kicker?
Not a ton. It doesn't happen as much anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you think about like the most successful Titans kickers, and you brought Nick Folk, who's been around a long time, but always been extremely accurate. I think Ryan Succop is the last guy that you looked at and just, you thought they had a money kicker. And I know going into that season, they had like two or three rookies in camp, but they knew that I think it was Cairo Santos or Succop was going to win the job in Kansas City, and they were just going to take the loser, which is what they did. The Vrabel Robinson administration that never seemed to take the kicking position, very seriously. Is there some luck to it? I don't know. I mean, you look at Baronis. Wasn't Baronis kicking for like the New York Dragons when they got him?
I think so, yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and he wound up being an outstanding kicker. And what's the kid in Detroit's name?
What
we
is
got Auburn and Dallas and the Detroit kid. Gosh.
I mean,
but both of those are great stories.
Jake
that are
Bates.
Out of nowhere. Bates. Yeah, they're both kind of out of nowhere stories. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, you're not talking about guys who get drafted here. I mean, these are guys who kind of develop. And I think, coming into camp with one kicker, why not use one of 90 to bring in a younger guy to at least see what you can develop there? Because that's kind of the way this seems to work, right? A younger guy comes in and proves he's the stuff and takes over. But if you don't bring that younger guy in, you don't get that look. And I know everybody's always wants competition. Well, you got to bring in competition. You got to bring in competition. I don't think Joey Sly needs competition. I just think he needs to be better. What he needs to do to be better, I don't know. I'm not a kicking expert. But I also think, I always say, looking is free, touching will cost you, right? That's what movie was that?
Nope.
there goes the show. Last show ever. But
Corey is expediting the process.
The Titans could look, right? The Titans could look. And I'm sure you could say they're looking around the league, but I think they could have another guy in camp, to see. Because you don't know if you're going to stumble upon that Baronis or that Aubrey, right?
Yeah.
So you got to have those guys here. And, I know Younghoe Koo was one of the guys that was here. You know what he is. I don't know. I don't remember who the other two were, but I don't know how realistic they were about addressing the kicking situation.
So, Corey, the preseason game opener coming up on Thursday in San Francisco on News 2. What are maybe a couple of things that you're most, I guess, curious about heading into preseason game number one?
Well, look, we all know the challenges of the offensive line, but I feel like it's been a little better than I expected in camp. And I want to see, we've been told we're going to see the starters, right, in all three preseason games. And number one, I want to see if I'm guessing that's Volson. We've seen three guys at that right guard spot, but I'm guessing it's Volson. But I want to see the offensive line, be physical. I want to see a group that is ready, to be combative. Five willing combatants on the offensive line working together. We've seen some nice plays in the running game from that group. I talked with Carmen Brasillo yesterday. He's really happy with the way they've embraced a lot of their double team concepts. So I want to see that group continue to kind of take a step forward that is a little better than I expected at this point. I'll be a broken record on Carnell Tate. I just want to see him continue to make plays and be that guy, because if he's that guy, that answers a big question for this team for a decade.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's a guy who And there are a few. There are a few young guys on this roster who are showing some promise, Corey. Titans just paid Peter Skoronski big money, first, big guarantee.
First, second contract they've given out since Jeff Simmons and Amani Hooker.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So we were talking earlier about, I mean, this is obviously something they'd love to encounter. You know, there are a bunch of people who in the next couple years could be on track for that, to where it's like, wow, are you guys sure you should have paid the left guard that much? But first of all, I mean, I think you had to do it. But also, what a great problem they'd love to have, to suddenly have a few of these guys that they're like, oh, we have to keep this guy, starting with J.C. Latham.
Yeah, well, look, they've got plenty of cap space. And the big reason for that is they haven't signed a lot of second contracts. Actually, they've signed one since 2009, the 2019 class. So a lot of their money is tied up in free agents, and you know, most of those deals you can eliminate in 2 years. Skoronski's also not even 25 years old.
Yep.
He is the kind of player you want to tie your money into. He's also an ascending player, a player who's getting better each year, and not a player who's peaked and going to be dropping off. And so, you know, I view Peter Skoronski as a good investment for this team. And with where the cap is at, you know, look, is that money way more than we expected at first? Yeah. You know, at first I thought he would be in the $80 million range for 4 years, but with the way the numbers were going, this was kind of the spot where you thought it was going to wind up. But, yeah, I mean, you hope, you know, there are some young players, you know, like DK and Aya Manor that you're going to want to offer a second contract to. And you brought up JC. This is a huge year for him. He needs to be an ascending player this year. He needs to show that's what he is. Cedric Gray is another one who, you know, how much do middle linebackers get? I don't know. But, you know, he looks like a good player that you're going to want to keep around on this team after last season. We'll see how he follows up this year.
Corey, as far as we know, we're still in the air. We appreciate you taking time to be with us, as always. I think we made it.
Has the FCC hasn't called?
I don't think so. I think we're doing well right now. Doing very well.
I don't want you guys.
Don't fart us up.
I don't want you to get kimmeled.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Have fun out there in San Francisco this week.
You know, I'm not going to set one foot in San Francisco.
Oh, well, you're right. You're not.
I'm going to go to San Jose, and then I'm going to go to Santa Clara, and then I'm going to go to Santa Anita, and then I'm going to go to San Juan, and then I'm going to go. No, I'm not. I'm just going
to. Then you're
going
to go to the hashtag substation.
Yeah, but be careful with that substation.
Come back in one piece.
I'm going to go to the substation. I'm going to get a foot long turkey and ham, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Take a snapshot of that substation. Send us a picture.
Have you ever watched Skinwalker Ranch on the History Channel?
No, I have not.
This is my favorite show. It's about a bizarre ranch in Utah where just strange stuff happens.
Oh, good.
And they get all these strange, like, radiation and electric wave measurements and everything. So maybe the 49ers play on like an ancient Indian burial ground ranch or something.
Well.
So next week the History Channel will have The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, followed by The Curse of Santa Clara.
God, I'm hoping against hope no Titans get hurt at this practice this week, because it's all people are going to talk about if they do.
I was really concerned that Corey was bringing up a bunny ranch.
The bunny ranch? No. I am landing in Las Vegas, by the way, on my way there. So, Joe, if you want me to go and pick you up, like, some coupons or some memorabilia, I can. I don't think one day's exposure to the substation does it.
That's good. That's good to know. Good to know. Corey, thank you, sir. We'll see you.
Compelling, compelling, and rich.
That's right. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. Joe, the Titans have released their first unofficial depth chart for the 2026 season. You'll be stunned to know Cam Ward, the starting quarterback listed on the roster, so that part is good. The right guard battle is going to be interesting. Cordell Volson is listed as the starting right guard. Fernando Carmona is behind him on the depth chart. But as Corey mentioned in the last segment, they've been like basically rotating some people through that. So that part is going to be interesting to see who nails that out. I don't know if that's good news or bad news, Joe. Like if they have not nailed down a starting right guard, does that mean that Carmona has just been way better than they thought? Does that mean that Volson, they look at and say, I don't know. It's not going very well. Like, I don't know really what to make of the right guard situation yet.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure on the Volson front. I mean, look, it's good to have your rookie pick ascending. It also, a year ago, we were talking about Slater, right, as a guy who – Jackson Slater is a guy who – maybe was going to be emerging. And now this, I mean, on this depth chart, he's actually listed as Skoronski's number two. So this depth chart would lead you to believe that he's not even in that competition.
Yes.
So now I think if he were playing well enough, then he would absolutely be in the competition because you've got to try to have five solid spots. So, I mean, that's an interesting one. Yeah, you got some things. I mean, it is very interesting. So you got Diabate listed as a starter there at linebacker. Again, we've talked about like Anthony Hill Jr. and just keeping expectations somewhat
manageable.
Yeah, for a rookie at that particular position, but nothing else really stands out. And again, these are just sort of. I don't know if Sal is like this. I know some coaches are basically like, okay, whatever, man. Put whoever in there. We have to release one. It means very little.
That's good to know Cam's a starter in the unofficial.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah.
Trubisky's the backup holder as well, so that's good. Good to know.
Okay, that is good to know. It's not, and it's not, there's no or. You know, the college depth chart is loaded with ors, man. Those are loaded with ors. There's no Trubisky or Levis at QB2. So
yeah, can't wait for those. That's going to be great.
In case anybody wondered, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I can guarantee you that both Vanderbilt and Tennessee's quarterbacks will be or.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be Berlowitz or Curtis, Brandon or McIntyre.
Yeah, really very much looking forward to that. Some tough news, Joe, for a former Titan. Dylan Radin's out for the year with a torn ACL. So for those who didn't know, he's with the New Orleans Saints. And he is now out for the season with a torn ACL. I will say we've had a few rough injuries in few ACLs across the league in the NFL so far this year, and Dylan Radin's the latest on that front.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know where he was, so this tells me now where he was. For anybody who says everyone who leaves the Titans is awesome, you know, that's not necessarily true. Tough news for him. You've also got tonsil triceps surgery, which sounds terrible. Significant time. Laremy Tunsil, Commanders, left tackle. That's a big hit to Jaden Daniels and their hopes. You get the Bears.
Burden out for the preseason. Yeah,
burden out for the preseason. Groin. Groin injury. So soft tissue. I mean, you know, hopefully that, you know, doesn't linger into the season. But, yeah, they're starting to pile up. And you just wait until you get two teams together in the shadow of a substation.
Yeah. If there's ever a practice I need Titans players to stay healthy in, it would be that one. If I could pick one, you know? Be that one coming up on, I guess, Wednesday.
I mean, Charles, like they're going to move or whatever. Like, they have to move because it doesn't matter. Like, you're going to have a ton of injuries in the NFL, and they'll never hear the end of it now.
They're going to become the healthiest team in the league when they move practice facilities, you know? Go practice on the beach.
Well, I was going to say, like, what would be, like, the opposite? Like practicing near a waterfall or something? Like, what would be, like, some sort of fountain of youth type thing out there somewhere or in front of a redwood tree? I don't know.
It's a good question. I don't know. It's plenty of people to go do some research out there for, you know? They've hired scientists. Just go identify another spot for you.
Yeah. By the way, Teddy Bridge. Bridgewater, as someone texted yes. retires the Lions. That actually brings up a question I have to ask, okay. Robbie, about the Titans.
All right, we'll get into that coming up next. By the way, didn't Josh Dobbs end yes. up there? So Dobbs replacing Bridgewater.
He did. He did. And that's a good move, but I still have this question.
All right, we'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We mentioned Teddy Bridgewater retiring from the Detroit Lions. Josh Dobbs has been signed. It leads Rex Road to a question.
Well, and Dobbs is a nice pickup, as we know. He's going to end up, by the time his career is done, he'll have probably played for half the teams in the NFL. He's a great add to a locker room. He can come out and he can make plays, and he was a super quick study here with the Titans and almost won the division for them in a hell of an atmosphere in Jacksonville in prime time.
Well, and if the team pilot has a medical emergency in the air, he can fly the plane too. That's also good.
That's right. There is that too. I mean, maybe he can go out and reprogram that substation or something. Well, try to fix that.
Maybe so.
But yeah, he's a journeyman backup. Obviously, I think with Dobbs, and this goes back to Tennessee, as we've talked about before, he just can't command the football like you need to be a starter in this league. He's an erratic passer, and so there's a limitation there. I wonder. And going into camp, you knew there would be either injuries or whatever. This is a retirement, but you knew somebody out there was going to lose QB2. And while this is a quick response, I do wonder if the Lions would be one of those teams that looks at it and says, okay, we know Dobbs is a backup. You count him. Previously, we had Hendon Hooker, another Tennessee quarterback. They love the Tennessee quarterbacks until they don't. But that he was the developmental prospect, as we know and as we see here. It just didn't work out. It doesn't look like it's going to work out. Would the Lions, if Will Levis plays well, and he's going to have to. All of a sudden, we got video clips of him stumbling around and falling on his butt, and things aren't going well. But if he plays well this week in this game and in future games this preseason, would the Lions be one of those teams to say, you know what, it's possible he could put it all together. There is a lot of physical talent there, and Jared Goff's not playing forever. Why not take a flyer? I mean, I could see them being the type of team with no other young developmental QB around that would look at it and say, sure, we'll give us six. Give me back a seventh. We'll take Levis.
Well, they've got Luke Altmyer there. And he's a UDFA, so I don't know what that means. Like, he's a
Illinois legend.
Yeah, so is he going to be there at the end of training camp? I have no. Is he going to make the practice squad? I don't know. I don't know what their plans for Luke Altmyer are. I mean, it's worth discussing if you're Detroit for sure. Like, that young developmental guy to come in and maybe be a part of your organization there. I mean, the thing is with them though, like, for a backup quarterback, I think Levis is so erratic as a backup quarterback. I think that's part of why nobody's traded for him yet. Is like, he's not exactly what you're looking for in a backup. Like, he may be an intriguing developmental prospect that you can work with for a long time, but like, I don't know. What if Goff goes down? Are you going to throw him in the game and think that he's going to give you anything? Like, I don't know. It's just a weird spot with Levis. I mean, there's clearly a perception problem with Will Levis right now. Clearly, right? I mean, we talked about this when he made his comments last week of, I know there's not 32 quarterbacks better than me. Well, the NFL says differently, bud. Like, it just is. I mean, and that's a position, too, where, there's a shortage on good backup talent, right? Like, if you go back and look at the list of backup quarterbacks in the league, I mean, it's not an overly impressive list. So, and it just tells me that nobody's really all that interested in Will Levis right now. Like, how much can he change that if he goes out this week in San Francisco and plays really well? Or if he goes out the rest of the preseason and plays really well? I mean, it has to help some. But right now, I mean, the vibe I get is there's a lot of work he's going to have to do to change the perception on him around the league.
Yeah, no question. He's going to have to be really good. And not just make plays, but he take care of the football, not not look like someone who's too much of a chance taker.
Yeah.
Look as though you have let some lessons sink in from when you had your opportunity and you tried to do too much and got yourself in a ton of trouble. So, yeah, it's all about these preseason performances, but they do matter. They mattered from Malik Willis.
Yep.
And I don't think he was even on a radar before he played well. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'd be surprised.
I don't think you are wrong.
You know, and again, preseason games are largely worthless, but in this way, they can matter. I mean, look, for as worthless as they are, every single GM in this league, or at least their personnel department, they scour the film of every other preseason game because they're trying to upgrade a little bit at this gunner or this whatever. And so I think – and some of this would be – yeah, like Altmyer now has more reps because Bridgewater's out, so he's going to play a ton for the Lions. He'd have to play poorly too. And he probably actually – I mean, Altmyer, I just don't know if he has the talent even to, like, you know, stick in the league at all, but he's probably a safer guy anyway.
Well, I think – I understand that Levis is about to play in a preseason game coming up later this week, and he's going to be playing with, like, largely third-string players. So, on the one hand, you've got, you know, backup offensive linemen and, like, third-string wide receivers that you're going to be throwing the ball to. But you are going up against, like, you know, backup and third-string defensive players as well. Look, if he's as good as he thinks he is, he ought to dominate in the preseason, right? Like, he ought to have really good numbers and really good games in the preseason. So, I mean, if he doesn't, I think that's a red flag, right? Like, I know teams are going to look at that and be like, wait a minute. Yeah, you think you're some starting quarterback and you're the third string on the Titans and you can't go out here in the preseason games and light it up? Like, I think there's, for him individually, probably more than anybody, like, there's a lot riding on the preseason game coming up this week because based on the position he's in right now as the third string quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, he ought to go out there and play well. And if he doesn't, to me, that's a big problem for him.
No doubt. Yeah. And of course, when you look at his history, you're like, boy, that's a lot of pressure. And it has not been a great thing for him. Texter says, Levis isn't young, LOL. Well, he's 27. He's young and experienced. He's 27. If you're a good quarterback, I mean, the way they protect quarterbacks, yeah, man. I mean, you know, you can play well past a decade of where he is right now. So, yeah, in quarterback years and also experience years, he is young.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, and now the more time that goes on here, Joe, I mean, you know, we kind of joked about it at the beginning of the show, but, I mean, you're rolling out to right, you fall down. Beyond the clip of him falling down and everybody looking at him and laughing at him over the weekend, which has become like a thing with him, it also doesn't appear to be going that well for him right now in camp. So, like, the more opportunities he gets and the more he's around – the more I'm just convinced that he's not any good. Like, it's just, I mean, that's the conclusion that I'm forced to draw at this point. We'll see what that means in the games and if he can change some of that. But, like, it kind of feels like he's just not very good, right? And it may just be that he's not very good throughout his entire career.
Yeah, for sure. It may well be. You mentioned who he's playing with, and certainly that's not great from the offensive line perspective, and that could be a problem. But this team does, despite what you read at paulkuharski.com, have skill depth.
And him and Restrepo, you know, are going to light it up, man.
But even, like, you know, he might be able to play a little bit with some of those guys who actually might be on the field this year. And even, like, a Bryce Oliver is pretty good in a preseason game. Like,
pretty good.
You know, yeah. So, yeah, it's – I mean, that's probably depending on what Sal's going to do with the starters. And obviously, joint practice, I feel like games after joint practices are even less usually for coaches. So I would say the Levis angle is probably the most interesting thing about this first preseason game.
How much would you play Trubisky if you're Saleh? Like, how much do you need to see Mitch Trubisky play in the preseason?
Not a ton, and especially if I don't feel good about who's blocking for him.
Yeah.
So I think Levis gets a lot of snaps.
More reps for Hendon Hooker.
Yeah.
Is he going to get in?
I mean, I would freaking hope so, right? Like,
he better. He is.
You don't think he is?
I don't know. I just don't think it's a guarantee. Like, he's not getting any team reps.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a chance they could just say, hey, Will, whole second half's yours, baby. Go see what you can do with it.
Yeah. And I'd like to see Will Levis get a ton, but yeah, you'd like to see Hooker get a little bit of a chance to go out there, right?
I'd love to. I don't know that I'm convinced he's going to.
The Titans, once again, are going to have to apologize to Vols fans.
You're right. That won't go over well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Joe Rex Road, Will Levis' chief defender on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Good to I see wouldn't you. Say that.
Good to see you fighting the good fight, Joe.
I'm more with you. I mean, right now, there's no real indication that he's good. I do have a texter who's coming back to me, said, 27's not young, or there's not much more development to be had. And my point back to him was, two summers ago, Sam Darnold was 27. At that point, he was a bust.
Yep.
He was a guy hoping to be a QB2 in this league. And 2 years later, he's had back-to-back fantastic seasons as a starter, and he's a Super Bowl champion. And I also brought up Kurt Warner as an example. I mean, 28 years old, he's Arena League guy, stocking shelves, and he gets a shot with the Rams because Trent Green gets hurt, and the rest is history. So I just disagree that people, especially at quarterback, can't transform into something different in their late 20s and even early 30s.
Well,
it's possible.
It's a little bit of a different scenario, but Tannehill was 30 when he got traded here. Now, he had been a starting quarterback and had thrown for over 4,000 yards, but it didn't end well in Miami, and they were moving on from him. And he comes here and plays by far the best football of his career. So
exactly,
it's a different scenario, 30s. But he was 30 years old when he got traded here.
Right, exactly. And Texter pointed out Baker. You're right. Those are exceptions to the rule. But remember, anybody who works out in the NFL is an exception to the rule. I forget the number. I did the thing last year where I went through all the first round picks or whatever. It's overwhelmingly the rule that you will not pan out as a first-round quarterback in the NFL. So anyone who works out is an exception to the rule.
Agreed. Justin from Greenbrier says, if Levis could get his head to match what his body's capable of, he could be phenomenal, but that's the problem. He can't get out of his own way. I would agree. I mean, that's kind of what it feels like with him. I will say, all that being said, in terms of watching preseason football, Joe, I am fascinated to see the way that he plays coming up on Thursday. Like, it is a – for a preseason game, an interesting storyline to me to see what he looks like out there.
It is.
And it's been a long time since we watched him play football at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Look, as bad as some of his very well-known gaffes have been, and as bad as some of his performances have been, he has had good performances as an NFL quarterback in actual NFL games that meant something.
Yep.
For a team trying to do something. I mean, like, it's not nothing. Like, he has demonstrated some ability. So we'll see. By the way, I did not know this. I've never heard this, but JR on the YouTube chat, apparently Josh Jobs' nickname is the Pastronaut. That might be the greatest nickname ever. Did you know this?
Oh, yeah. It's
How
great.
The heck have we never talked about the Pastronaut?
It's not as good as the Pharaoh or Prince, who is promised from Trevor Lawrence, but it's good. The Pastronaut.
Is that listed on the whatever, that site?
I'll go check. Hold on.
I mean
I feel like it's got to be.
It's not official unless it does. That didn't get applied at Tennessee, did it?
No, I think that was an NFL thing. Yes, it is. It's the only nickname listed for Dobbs on the Pro Football Reference is Pastronaut.
I mean, that's just freaking amazing.
Has Cam Ward got one?
That makes me, I don't know.
It's
check
just,
it.
It's just Cam.
Okay. Now my anger over the new T-Rack is fading because I like that nickname so much.
Pastronaut.
Are we going to get over? Are people going to get over this now? I feel like we haven't had that much.
No, most I feel like people took the weekend. It's good now. You know?
Yeah. And I agree with anybody who's like, yeah, like I just want these guys to like find people who can play football and like maybe win a football game. Okay.
We all know about Peyton. We may have talked about this before. I'm looking at, every now and then I go down the rabbit hole of these nicknames for quarterbacks on Pro Football Reference. I mean, everybody knows Peyton Manning is the sheriff. Has anyone ever called him the caveman or pay dirt? Because those are also listed. Pay
what?
Dirt, I kind of like.
Oh, Peyton. I mean, Peyton I guess Peyton.
The caveman?
The caveman? What is that about?
I don't know. It's on there, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything that site is like anything that's ever mentioned somehow finds its way on that site. I've never, yeah, the sheriff, yeah, I mean, I've heard that, but even that one, I mean, how often do people really use that?
Brady's got seven of them, seven nicknames, one for each Super Bowl. TB12,
Really?
Tom Terrific, Touchdown Tom, GOAT, The Pharaoh, Comeback Kid, and the last one, Sir.
Okay. So some Brady Slappy put together that site. Oh yeah, Astro Dobbs, I do remember that.
Astro
That one
Dobbs, yeah.
I think people said that at Tennessee.
That's not on the list, though, Pro Football Reference. Just the Pastronaut.
That's elite. That is elite. So, yeah, I'm just saying Dobbs is yeah, Dobbs, we know what Dobbs is. And it's a good pickup for the Lions. But I don't know, if I were them, I'm not saying like it's a total flyer, but there is something to be said for having someone young in your camp that can develop. And maybe Altmaier is better than I think he is. You know, there's, I mean, he's a UDFA. He was fine in college. There's a lot more physical talent
Yes.
for a Will Levis compared to a Luke Altmaier. But that isn't, you know, if you have a reliable, limited game manager, sometimes that's what teams want.
All right, outside of Levis, early shots this week, who is the player you're most interested to watch in the preseason game coming up on Thursday? I mean, you could say like Tate, but he's going to play for like 5 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, whatever Latham gets out there, I'm keenly interested in all those reps and keenly interested in the whole O-line one, their reps. Oladejo
That's
is a
mine.
guy that I'm, yeah, like he should get some run here. And I guess the thing is, you know, this sort of tells you something sometimes too. Like if Oladejo plays for a half, that probably tells you that he's not all that close to the rotation or that he's kind of on the fringe, not going to get that many snaps. So you almost, you know, you'd like him to play well, flash, and also not play a ton. So it's like, okay, he's actually going to get some run this year. But yeah,
He's
it's
a guy
time
I
for him to
actually,
make
though,
some
wouldn't,
plays.
I wouldn't mind seeing playing a little bit, you know. Everything
Yeah.
you're saying I agree with, but I wouldn't mind seeing him play a little bit out there.
Yeah. And, you know, watching the linebackers too. I mean, Gray, I really expect big things from him. Diabate, watching James Williams. James Williams has flashed a lot in camp. Does that cross over? He'll probably get a lot of snaps in this game. And he's fun to watch.
We'll see how it goes. Got to survive the substation first. That does it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a like a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I have been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's
Oh, yeah.
basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension. and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.